from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, turn those mics on. We are ready to go here as Kim Bocamper's in the house, along with Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel.
Now, turn it over to Bo. He's got all
for a little entertainment. Listen, when he gets
on,
yeah, you're on.
I don't even know. You walk into this place, you know. You think about
it's being a real
in the radio, you know, and you feel as you, like you're going to walk into a palace. This is the crappiest. This is like being in a garage, right?
But everything
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It looks brand new, and it looks like it's going
to
be good.
No, there's stuff hanging from the ceiling about to fall down on you.
Wait, this isn't St. Thomas.
No.
No.
But they haven't updated the microphone since you were working here, Bo.
No. It's still got the same congestion. It's still got all the same all the same germs on them. I think they even brought this. I think the one I'm using right now is the one that Hank Goldberg used back in the day.
That could have been. We could have kept the old mics
at the time when he was falling asleep halfway through the show. Right.
You're a bad man.
What?
You're a bad
Tell
guy.
Tell me it didn't happen.
No, it
Tell
did.
Me it didn't happen.
No, Hank right. Late used to doze
the late,
a little
great
bit.
Hank Goldberg.
Yeah, the late great.
There were a lot more characters on the radio back in the day. You know?
Are you kidding? Those
were
classic.
Some real characters back there
in newspapers too. Why is that? Why?
I don't know.
I would come in here. Neil Rogers would be walking out. I'd be scared to say something. That would end up on.
Oh, you never knew. Exactly. He was going to get you every day.
So the first time I met Neil, right? I'm doing a show right after him or something. I was walking to get a check, you know. Back then, you know, I'd drive 20 miles to get a $50 check, right? So I'm walking in to get a check, and I'm walking by, and Neil's on a break, and he comes and goes, "Hey, Kimbo Camp, yeah, I watch you play. You know, it couldn't have been any nicer, you know. Yeah, I loved watching you play and this and that, and, yeah, you know, hope you do well, you know. And, oh, great, man, this guy's a good guy. You know, I get in the car, and he goes, you know, I just see this guy, Bo Camper. What the hell is he doing? He just starts undressing, like ripping me up one side and down the other. I go, oh, there he is.
Welcome to radio.
Oh, yeah. No. And it would be nice, and you thought, man, I got off to a good start with him because I hear him blast all the other guys, and then you're driving, and you go, Jesus, he's ripping me now.
You're nobody if you weren't ripped by Neil at that time.
Well, yeah, it was
kind of
a badge of honor, right?
Sort of like Hank, but more with Neil.
Well, Hank, and by the way, for all the old Hank Goldberg fans, we all think the world.
Oh, we love Hank.
Everybody
great.
Loved Hank.
Great.
But Hank had
rip him.
Everything was said around gambling. If he had a great day at the track, he came in the best mood and everything was great.
He had a bad day.
He had a bad day and got hit on the chin.
If you didn't understand his mood and you called into that show, you were going to get shredded from him.
Right? Yeah. I hope you die. I hope you get run over.
I'll tell you what, though. So when I first met Hank, I was probably here for a week. Because I came early to get acclimated, and we had, you know, I had some stuff I had to do. And so I get a call from, hey, it's Hank Goldberg, you know, I do radio here. And he says, you know, we got a trip over to the Bahamas with Jimmy the Greek. You want to come? So he invites me over to the Bahamas for a three-day weekend with Jimmy the Greek and everything. So he introduced me to Jimmy the Greek. 2 weeks later, he goes, hey, want to meet me up at the Biscayne Dog Track? Introducing me to Angelo Dundee. And I'm here for 3 weeks, and I know, like, friggin' everybody. Yeah. Oh, I watched this guy on TV. Oh, I know this guy, you know. He was a wonderful.
Did you get a letter from the commissioner for associating with gamblers, or no?
Well, you know.
Can you imagine today with all that stuff Hank did?
Absolutely.
Can you imagine the league right now? Hank, is Hank at camp again there trying? Oh, he's talking to a quarterback, and you know he's doing something.
Actually, they would embrace that now because they want all that money. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually.
Could you imagine Hank on the radio now with legal gambling?
Hank would be making a lot of money because all those big guys, they would have hired his ass. And,
you know who
be...
you run into? Another, since we're doing old TV and radio names, is Brent Musburger.
Yeah.
I'd see him at the Raiders game. He'd come over and talk. But there's a guy who's built a network around the gambling.
Yeah.
Brent Musburger went to Vegas where he should have been the whole time. He loved gambling. Loved it. He was doing the Raider games for a while on the radio. We were out there, and I go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always knew the guy as, you know, as a college football guy and stuff, and he jumped into it, and he had all that action out there, and then the league finally caught up. He called it, by the way, too. He said someday, no matter what the league's saying, they're going to jump in bed in this gambling. There's no way they're going to let everybody else beat them.
Well, back then they were so offended by gambling. But they'd have Jimmy the Greek on every week talking about the game.
But
right?
No teams in Vegas. We can't let any teams in Vegas.
Meanwhile, we got
never
a spread.
Have a team in Vegas.
By the way, the spread's been around since before any of us were born. Like a 7.5-point favorite today at home. And you're like, okay, that's great.
I remember
great.
When I came in here, I guess someone said, you're a 6-point. Like, what's that? You know, well, you're supposed to win by 6. Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, right.
I don't think they're thinking the same thing.
Hey, so got second game. Bo, I was just saying, I'm selfish. I want to see all the good players play as much as they can.
Yeah, I'm wondering what they're going to do and how they're going to play them. It's funny because I think I saw like Skyler yesterday. I think was playing running a little bit with the first team guys, and kind of leads you to believe that Tua may get to start, but maybe play 10 plays. or something like that, yeah. And then get Skyler to come in maybe and let the, and play with the rest of the first team for, you know, the end of the first half or something like that. But who knows what Mike's going to do? You know, I mean,
you think one guy's ahead of the other guy right now, off of what you see?
Well, I think it's hard. It's hard. You know, I heard you talk. You know, the thing that the coaches have, especially Mike and Bevel and Frank have. With it, they look at every snap of practice,
right?
So they see that, and we don't know what they're talking about behind closed doors. You know, now you had last week Skyler played with the best players that were going to play in that game, right? The backups, but the best backups that there, and then Mike comes in and he plays with, you know, it's like the old Don Strock. I remember I used to always, you know, we would have a pregame meal at training camp, and that's when Coach Shula told you when you're going to play, how much you're going to play, who you're going to play with.
Right.
And I'd always get by Don Strock when he walked out the door, you know, because it was always going to be the same thing. Because he was the third-string quarterback back then. I think it was Greasy, Jimmy Delgazzo, and then Strock, right? So he was always the third guy, at least in training camp. And I'd always really get up close to him when he's walking out the door, because first thing he would do, he would pop open the lighter, smoke, you know, light a cigarette and go, Jesus Christ, you see those misfits I got to play behind tonight? So I think, I don't want to say it, but Mike White played with the misfits last week,
did.
You know?
Yeah,
So, you know, it's only fair. I mean, the league never, sometimes is not fair. You think it's only fair that he should get a chance to be able to play with the better group, and let's see what Skyler can do as you go down the line of players.
Right, let's see how Skyler
does. But, you know, who knows? Dave's trying to tout Ryan Tannehill every
Oh, you saw
minutes.
That article?
No,
that
got
9,000 hits?
That was the idea, wasn't it? Come on, he's more experienced than either of them.
Dave goes by the poke the bear rule. Let me poke that bear a little bit and get him roaring a little.
No, I go for the layup rule. What's the most obvious, easiest to do?
But you know what? A lot of people are going, you know? That Tannehill thing,
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I mean, from a standpoint of who is the best forget who they're playing with, forget whatever, forget the offense, forget if you put Ryan, Skyler, and Mike there, who's the first guy you're going to take?
Who do you win one or two or three games with this year?
Who would you trust to come in if someone goes down and not let the ship sink? Or right? And I would have to say, just experience wise, Ryan, right here in our backyard. But you know, this Mike McDaniel office. Let me see this Mike McDaniel Tua offense doesn't fit any of those guys.
Right.
They're square pegs in round holes.
All of them.
Now Mike and Skyler certainly have been in the system now for a couple of years. Skyler more than Mike, but they're still not a fit. There's not a hand in glove in Mike's offense with Tua. Right.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tannehill if he came in, but you know. But for me, you know, if Mike can't, you know, be the equal of Skyler over the next couple weeks, then why don't you take a look at it? You know,
I think
opportunity.
He really likes the two guys. I really believe.
I agree with that.
I mean, if you got him aside, because everybody goes, oh, he just says whatever. Yeah. Like I go, no, he actually doesn't. And if he tells you he really likes Skyler and Mike, he really likes them. They know his system.
I think more importantly, Daryl Bevel. He loves those guys.
Yeah.
He loves that quarterback room. He's been with them now. And you know, when we've talked to him like last year and in production meetings, you can tell he's got an affinity for all those guys. And so, you know, I mean, and look, he's going to hold as much weight, you know, maybe not as much as Mike, but certainly going to be listened to in a strong way.
Yeah. It's It has been difficult for camp, the new camp, only because I don't know who's injured. And I don't care about when guys play. Yeah, I'm waiting for Jacksonville like everybody else, and that's all you care about, and that's all you should care about. But from day to day out there, so many guys, I don't know who's injured a little bit. I don't know who's got the day off. Yeah. And so that's kind of a hard one. I saw the list last night of guys that, If you didn't practice yesterday, or you're probably not playing.
Probably not playing.
Well, that was
Saturday
the question.
Night.
Last week when Mike White didn't practice, he had his helmet on, and it's like, is he hurt? Is he?
Yeah.
And it's you sort of just have to, okay, let's come back tomorrow and see what's going on.
I started kind of looking around yesterday, and I was trying to just mark off on my roster there the guys that weren't wearing pads. You know, So those guys, they're out, at least in my way I look at it. But it's those guys that, you know, they were there, they got their shoulder, but they're not practicing.
Yeah.
You know, or they in or out. And so, you know, it's anybody's guess. And you know it's so trying to figure out Mike's philosophy here. And this is year three with Mike, right? Trying to figure out his philosophy and who do you play during the preseason. And every team has a different
– Right.
Every team has a different – well, you talk about
– Andy Reid, man.
Andy, you're playing everybody.
Let's play.
Dan Campbell, I think, is playing a bunch of guys up there, you know.
Old school.
Buffalo's playing – you know, that guy – all those old school guys, you know, they're kind of going that old school direction there. But it's still hard to put a handle on Mike's philosophy on who plays when in the preseason. I'm with you, Dave, that – this is the game if you want to play them. So in case – so someone gets nicked up, you've got almost 3 weeks for them to get back and you know, and be ready for the opener.
And, yeah, you see, I was just looking as on the break, all the teams that aren't playing. Trevor Lawrence not playing.
Yeah.
Colts not playing. Yeah. Tennessee not playing.
Yeah.
And you can go to there's a list of several other teams that starters aren't playing. And so who's right – I don't think anybody's right or wrong. The question is who's ready to play come
– Well, that's it. You know, it's – it's become like you ever watch the America's Cup? You know, it's their start. You know, they just kind of linger around there. You know, oh, I'm going here. Yeah. That guy's going that way. That guy's going that way. But once that cannon goes, they're all right at the starting line.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone's trying to be. They're trying to be right at that starting line when that cannon blows.
And some teams don't need to be. Some teams, sure, you know, Kansas City doesn't have to worry about being blown out of their season the first month.
Yeah.
And you know, San Francisco. There's a handful of teams, but there's a handful of teams that Dolphins, I think, are one of the teams that need a good start.
Well, they need to come out. You know what? They need to come out of they need to be in the block. They need to be in the 100.
Yep.
They need to be in the 100 meter zone because they've got you. I look at this. I honestly believe they've got a chance to win 7 games in a row. It's coming out of the block because you know they come out with Jacksonville, and the one thing and the reason I say that is because if Mike's whatever his formula is right, you know this offense is going to be coming out screaming, right? And so you get Jacksonville, and then you get Buffalo coming down here week two. They just lost Milano. They lost another defensive player.
Yeah, they did.
They lost Diggs. That team's going to be still trying to find their footing, especially on the defensive side of that. And if you can get on top of them, that gives you one win against them. And then it's not tough, Sam. Maybe Seattle a little tougher. But I think if the offense is cranking like it does early in the season, we've seen you can ride it until you get to Buffalo the next game when you go to game 8 up in Buffalo, and I think there's a real shot. But if they come out and they stumble, then you got problem because the backloaded part of the season, that's where the true test is coming. It always comes down to the battle. Although they get Buffalo out of the way early within the first 2 months.
That last 6 games starts with Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
That last Thanksgiving, late night game, last game on Thanksgiving at Green Bay, and then you get rolling on that schedule. Then you really find out what you're going to be in. That's, hey, listen, Mike's talked about all that stuff and where they are and what they need to do. They've talked about the 24 thing. Hell, they even talk about that all the time, about 24 years without a win. We got to go to break. Kim Bocamper's with us. Dave Hyde's with us. We got to come back, man. Bo, selfishly, I know you feel the same. Spent a little time with Doug Betters the other day.
Oh, my God.
How good was that? Oh, my God, was that great. Out to pasture on the podcast.
I got to give you a warning. If you're going to listen, the F-bombs were flying pretty good.
Dougie, he asked if he could
Dougie
do it.
Dougie doesn't have a filter.
No.
I talked to him. I never got the F-bombs. You got the real Doug Betters then if you're getting the F-bombs.
Yeah. Well, he says podcast is you can say the F-word. Right? You go,
every now and then, but boom, 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 boom. It's like a barrage.
What a guy, man. What a great teammate. Great teammate. Bo, known one of the killer bees. And so anyway, we'll talk more about that right now. I want to talk about the CEO, Chev, and Loctite for just a second, man. I got to tell you. It is hurricane season. I know so far we've dodged the bullets. One went left, one went right, but you never know when the big guy's coming. And all you can do is protect your home. And if you got a leaky roof, you haven't got those impact windows and doors, Loctite says, please call us. And if it's because of money, we got financing plans and some great ones for you. Impact windows, doors, and roofing, 100% financing, zero down. Impact windows, doors, and roofing, no interest, no payments for a year. And Impact Windows as low as $3 per month per window installed. So a lot of great things going on. They do it all. They really do. For roofing, the roofing part of the company, tile, shingle, metal flat, we do it all. Again, even though it's a busy time right now, we want to let you know, call us, man. We'd love to help you as quickly as possible. Don't wait for the next storm. It's time right now. We're in the middle of hurricane season, and Loctite's going to take good care of you. They're in West Broward. They cover all of South Florida. They take care of all the permits and HOA approvals, so you don't have to worry about that. Loctite is a licensed insured contractor, 954-500-LOCK, 954-500-LOCK. That's 954-500-5625. Somebody that's very knowledgeable about the company will answer the phone and help you as quickly as possible. All right, welcome back, and good morning. Happy Friday to everybody out there. But we are about ready to get some serious football rolling. Preseason game number two tomorrow night at Hard Rock Stadium. We got high school football. Larry Bluestein will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Talk to Blue. We've got three or four teams and top-ranked again here, public and private schools in Dade and Broward County. So get caught up with everything with Larry Bluestein, as you just heard. Bo's in here, Kimbo Camper, and Dave Hyde. You kind of miss all the Milpena stuff, that none of that today.
Yeah,
got the day
you know,
off
it's,
that.
It's you know, it's nice to come in here and
he's much more mature.
You know, it is very immature, and it's very, you know, it's demeaning, and I always walk away with I feel like I got a stain, you know.
Feel a little dirty.
I feel a little dirty. Yeah. When I leave.
What are you laughing about, Dave?
I'm just here with 70-year-old men talking about penis jokes.
It's childish.
I'm not a child. I like sports and other things.
No. So Bo's school, you know, again, it's his high school. And your high school is kind of a big thing.
So they call it the Milpenis. And it took him a while to figure out, but it's still, and so it's the Milpenis Trojans. He's so dumb he didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, it took him, but when he found out, he was
a year. Once he found out,
he was like a 2-year old when he found out. Like the first dirty little thing you learn when you're like in the fifth grade.
It reminds me of a banner hanging in Notre Dame when they played USC, the Trojans, and then they played Naval Academy. And this banner said, "Now that we've punctured the Trojans, let's watch the semen run." So if we're into these juvenile jokes,
damn, Dave. Yeah, no, that's very. Yeah, so, and I didn't know all these years, because I just say Milpitas because I've seen that sign. You know, I went to school down there, and I saw Milpitas every time we go to San Jose, and I dated a girl down there, and so I saw the sign all the time. And then Woody one day goes, "Did you say Milpitas?" I said, "No, I said Milpitas." He goes, "No, you said Milpenis." So that got it started. Then we found out a couple weeks later, the Milpitas Trojans. So then I asked Bo, I'm done with this after this. I said, "Hey, Bo, did you?" He goes, "Joe, you don't think I went to school growing up and there?" And then I asked your brother, and he goes, "Yeah, that's been around forever. Man."
But not around here forever.
No, not around here.
But there. And we played in, you know, the high school conference league I played in was Eastside San Jose. It was all the, you know, it was the tough part of San Jose, and we just got it, you know, unmercifully. we're a horrible basketball team. We went one for, I think we 2 years in basketball. I played basketball. We won one game in 2 years, so we were a horrendous basketball team to boot. And then we got this Milpenis hanging over our head, right?
Oh God! Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Hey, so Bo, let's get back to the game a little bit. For you guys, I'm always curious, man, because we kind of follow your lead on replays up there. We're at the radio. We're following. What do you guys, when they do that and they put the production, go, "Hey, Bo, we're going to kind of follow this." Yeah. What kind of stuff, you guys? What are we looking for?
I try to pick out one or two guys to talk about during the course of the game that I think are going to play. And then I'm a line of scrimmage guy, you know. I kind of let other guys tell me about the passes and stuff. I want to see what the defensive line is doing and the offensive line doing. To me, I think that's the engine that runs. Those other things are just a paint job in the car. You know, I want to see what's under the hood. And so I kind of focus on that in that interior part of the line. I try to see where the blocking is, and then I try to pull back and see.
Yeah.
And so maybe I get a little offensive line and defensive line heavy, but that's kind of, you know, like the injury to, was it Kendall Lamb that Keon Smith.
Yeah.
You know, if the offensive tackle doesn't get beat up field, this never happens, right? You know, and he rolls into Keon, and he's out for the season. So I kind of look at that. And then you know what? You know, like last year was the first time I'd ever done it, and I kind of felt like I had to say something after every play. And this year I'm saying, nah, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'll say something if I see something. If not, I'm going to kind of let it go. But I kind of started trying to talk about themes, like Mike's theme, and trying to get the team tougher, and trying to win later, and players, what they're trying to do. You know, it would have been nice. So this one thing I don't understand now about playing rookies is, you know, you'd always play your rookie. Your rookies would always play a lot. And now you got two of your draft choices that haven't played a snap in a preseason game. Now, I don't know if they're nicked up. They seem to be practicing most of the time. Maybe,
right.
Maybe Mo less than Chop. Chop's been out there the whole time. But so it's odd to me to see somebody that you want to get tested in a real game situation not playing in game one, even if you play a series or two, you know?
That was the biggest disappointment in that first preseason game was no Chop Robinson. Yeah. Everybody wants to see the number
this
one.
This would be a good week for watching the line, though. Washington's got two
very good tackles.
Defensive tackles, and the question of the Dolphins' interior. And then Chop Robinson's made some he's made a name for himself in camp that, okay, you're seeing it, but he's been going against reserves.
Yeah.
So you'd like to see him line up against his
look, starter. Joe knows this. I'm holding my opinion on Chop.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I sit here and I watch practice. I go, okay.
You see something.
And then I read the paper or I hear someone on the radio and they're going, oh, Chop's in. I go, what? I don't know that I saw that.
Yeah.
You know, because for me, like, especially with a guy like Chop, you know, they're running again. Half the time, they're not even in pads. And so, you know, that guy's not striking him. You know, they're just kind of patting him along. So I tend to watch, like, I'll watch the drills. How's he getting off the line? You know, is he bending his knees? You know, can he get his arms extended where he needs it? I look at all those kind of things, the technical stuff, the fundamental stuff, and that's where I kind of make my judgment. And until he gets in and plays in a game that's meaningful. And to a rookie, every preseason game is meaningful. I don't care who you're playing against. If you're playing against the second team, the first, whatever, it's meaningful. So I can't make a judgment on him right now. It's like Odell Beckham, you know. I mean, he's out there now, and he's a big talk about town. I said, I did a thing yesterday for CBS. He said, what do you think about Odell Beckham? I said, I don't think anything because I haven't seen him. When I see him, I'll have an opinion on him. But I saw him at the Met Gala. I saw him going out with Kim Kardashian. You know, he had a nice white suit on. He looked pretty good in it. But I haven't seen him play. So how do I, you know, and the one thing about him, you know, I want to come in, you were talking about Tua and kind of how he's maturing into being a leader, more of a leader. And I think they asked him about Beckham, and he said, you know, I'm not talking about people that aren't practicing, right? That's the old coach's thing, right?
I was going to say, that sounds just like a
head coach. That's the old coach philosophy.
That's,
you know,
Don Shula.
If he's not playing on the field, I'm not talking about him. And so it was refreshing to me to hear Tua say that about another player, not criticizing him, but I don't have an opinion because he's not playing. You know, to me, that's another big step forward for him in a leadership standpoint, but it's a truism. How can at least all these guys? Beckham's going to be this. He'll catch 35 balls. He'll be this. He'll be the third receiver. I haven't even seen him out there. So, you know, how do you know? I mean, nothing against him. You know,
well, they're counting
good
on
in
him.
The suit, but
no. And I get he hasn't. We haven't seen him, and he came obviously a little frustrated. One of the fans went after him pretty good. Yeah. And I don't listen, man. If I'm him and I'm injured, I'm just taking the high road.
But look,
I'm
going
to be back
in
a couple weeks.
Here's a disappointment for them. They signed him prior to the mini camps and stuff, right? Never showed up for mini camp. Wasn't even there, right?
Been injured.
Some of the OTAs. There were a lot of guys who were injured. They were here. They weren't somewhere else. I don't even know if he's in the building at times. You know, so I don't know. Again, I'm just speculating because
you've seen because him
you can't
doing work on the side in training camp.
And only within the last week.
Yes, and so
only within the last week. The dog days are over, you know, as they say, and he's just popping out, you know.
But I like the fact that because I remember a couple years ago when the Dolphins had Will Fuller, Devontae Parker, and there were a couple other receivers. They'd sit there like
there were four of them injured the whole time. Yeah,
having lunch while everybody practiced, you know, and
they bring out that little gingham sheet with there in the basket, right? And sit on
umbrella,
the sideline, you know,
right?
Have a bottle of wine, you know?
and
bring your girlfriends
no
out.
Problem. There's no problem with that. Yeah, we're gonna
but
be
there
fine.
Was,
and I'm
but
like,
it was.
Wait a second. You can't have, but you can't. You need to have something to go on and practice. And now at least Tua, to his credit, is saying. No, you know, I need to have him out there.
I thought that was refreshing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could read into that a lot of different ways, those comments Tua made, and I thought, like, I think a lot of people were like, man, good for him.
I think the growth that you've seen in Tua, not only as a player, is in, with that leadership, and then, you know, he's comfortable now, contract is out of the way, and I think you've seen a complete different personality in Tua than we've seen. More, you know, last couple of years been tentative, you know, didn't want to say this or that, but I think now he's very, very comfortable in his skin and where he's at.
Well, you could see that day when he talked about his contract, it was just like his belief in, okay, I'm going to be here and I am the team, it's my team.
Yeah.
Just went.
He said they're going to call guys out. He goes, listen, man, we're going to call, we don't see something that's wrong around here. And I took that like from pouting to anything that affects the team, man. We're going to say, hey, we can't have it. So I was like, wow, Tua.
This
all
team
right.
sounds good, doesn't it?
It does sound.
Sound a lot better than a year ago, even.
And, you know, and you know, but I come up there like yesterday. I come up there, you know, and look, we talk, and I got my opinions on what's going on in the practice field. And I think you guys are all in my corner. And then I get up there and you start nitpicking me. Oh, hey, look at this guy. Oh, look, they don't have their helmets on. Hey, look at it.
He goes, he says,
I
he
just
said,
tried to get a rise out
he
of
goes,
by bringing
Joe
that
puts
up.
You up to that. He starts with that. Did Joe put you up to that question right there? Now you
all
guys
little
are
things.
You're trying to taunt
all
me right now.
Things.
And I'm and I can see Bo trying to block me out. He's trying to stay
but
focused.
It is a different camp in that right now. You look in back to back weeks, Atlanta after practice, they're running sprints.
Yep.
And the Dolphins are walking off. And yesterday, Dolphins are working without helmets. And you look across the way, there's Washington.
You know, all helmeted
now,
up.
And I asked Mike McDaniel, and his response was interesting that, okay, the quick answer, quick version, we're not running sprints, but I've got people invested saying we can have I forget his word, but we can have a lot more practice, actual practice time, running reps.
Yeah.
If we don't run, you know, if you put
but,
that energy
but
into
so,
practice.
So, Joe, you and I, I'm a detail guy. I Coach Shula taught me how to be a detail guy. Small details mean a lot when you're playing this game, because it's a very, you know, from a detail standpoint. You remember when they first allowed women in the locker room? Who was it? Christine Brennan, or who was the one lady that
Jane Chastain.
She goes, I, you know, all the male reporters get to go in there right after the game and interview them. We can't. So the league said, hey, now women need to be
grab the towel. They're coming. Yeah.
So detail. The next week, so Coach Shula says, you know, girls are allowed, women are allowed in the locker room. We're going to let them in the locker room. And here's what we're going to do. Every one of you is going to get a terry cloth robe. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to take your part of your uniform off. You're going to put your robe on. You're going to tie it at the waist, and then you take your jock strap off, and then you go in the shower. You take your robe off. You get in the shower. You come back. You put your robe back on. You tie it on. You get to your locker, and you put your underwear on. Then you take your robe off. That's a detail guy, right?
Yeah. She's already thinking about, so it won't be awkward for everybody for the first time in history of the NFL.
So lo and behold, so Steve Toll. First game, we got our terry cloth robes.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Got our terry cloth robes. After the game, he takes his robe and cuts it off right about the waist, right? And he puts it on, and he ties it, and he stands up on a chair. He's got nothing on underneath it. The robe's cut off, and he goes, Coach, is this how we tie it? Right? And his junk's just hanging out down.
So Steve Toll, what a clown. Oh, God, Steve Toll, man, he was a trip, too. Hey, we got to go to break here. God, I forgot about that. Yeah, the towel. That whole meeting about, hey, towels, women are coming in, man.
How to put on a robe.
Right? Hey, yo, we're going to go to break, but before we do, Kimbo Camper, Dave Hyde with us this morning. Do want to take a moment to tell you about Baptist El South Florida. I was out there yesterday, saw the facility, and I got to let you know, if you've got a sports-related injury and you're going to ask me where do the pros go, Inter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, the Miami Dolphins, all trust those great doctors, team doctors, as well as specialists that they have. One of the best sports medicine programs in the country. They put together knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, even a full-time Achilles doctors. So when you have that injury and you're going, I wonder what kind of experience they have. Well, they have a lot of experience. They've seen it all when it comes to high school, college, and professional athletes. And Baptist El South Florida means just that. Coral Gables Doctors Hospital at Hard Rock Stadium, right next to the practice facility in Broward County. Boy, I'll tell you what, this one's easy to get to. 595 and Pine Island Implantation, right next to the Renaissance Hotel. Just visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One go every day. One go every day. It's about getting you healthy, playing the sports you love the most. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody as we move on here on a football Friday. A lot of stuff going on. Kim Bocamper, Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel with us. Hey, Bo, got to talk about the podcast just a little bit. Out to pasture. And
Dave's out to pasture. We're going to have him on sometime here.
That's why I wrote about
him. Oh, no,
it.
You know what?
I wrote about a couple weeks ago because I wanted
to. He did.
No, you're on the book, man. You're in the book.
The gate's opening to that pasture.
You're a little too busy there for us, you know? Try to get on your schedule. I'm going through your people to try to get you on.
Your people. Yeah, exactly. Hey, the Doug Betters thing, man. We're talking about Doug. I think people forget. Old schoolers don't.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year,
yep.
Well, obviously a big part of Super Bowl 17 and 19 and us getting there. A member, one of many, of the Killer Bees that we've talked about a lot. He was real open about everything.
Everything, man. Yeah. He's an open book, and you know, he's done a lot of, you know, great football player. I remember in his the year that he was a defensive player of the year, I remember we opened up in Buffalo. He had 4 sacks. In the first game, I said, Doug, 3 of them I sent your way, man. Why don't you give me a little credit on that damn thing? You know what I mean? he's been a good guy, and he's not a brag. You know, he doesn't brag about, you know, I'm this, I'm that. He's just
never been like that.
And so, you know, I think it was 1998, I believe it was. Look, Doug was an outdoorsman. You know, he would never stayed here for the off-season program. I talk to him. I don't think he ever lifted weights. He tried to tell me that he did on the podcast. I still don't believe him. He was just country strong.
Boy, was he?
But this guy was one of those guys that would drop out of a helicopter, ski anywhere you want to ski, flew an airplane. Avid fisherman, avid hunter, outdoorsman. Lived in Montana, you know, and took advantage of everything they had in Montana. And then he would come back here and play football. And so he's skiing one day, and you know, we didn't have this on the podcast, but he's skiing, coming down one day, last run of the day, come down, and someone falls in front of him. He veers off the groom part of the, so hits a mound, goes over, hits his forehead, boom, and he's paralyzed from, he's a paraplegic from then on, and I was with Doug in the hospital, AJ and I with him when he. At that time, Wayne sent his airplane to go pick up Doug because there was no facility for that up where he was in Montana. They had to take out the front panel of the airplane to fit him on there. And Wayne said, "Take the damn thing off, get him on there." Brought him down to the Miami Project, Barth Green, and AJ were in the room, and I were in the room with him, and we're talking, and he says, "Hey, I think there's some twitching in my leg. That may be a good thing, you know." So Barth comes in and says, "Hey," and Doug goes, "Hey, got some twitching." Goes, "Doug, no, that doesn't mean anything, Doug." He says, "You got to brace yourself. You're not going to walk again." And AJ and I are looking at each other like, "Holy criminy," you know?
Yeah, wow.
I mean, right then, and I never. He didn't bat an eye. He said, "Don't worry, I'll be fine." And I've never heard him say anything negative about the situation he's been in. He's been in it for a long since 1998. I've been with him times where, you know, I asked to help him a little bit. We were in Seattle, and he was kind of on a slope, and he was in his chair. And I said, Doug, let me grab. No, leave me alone. Gets in his. He's become an independent guy. He's got a wonderful wife.
Oh wow!
Who he met
hit a home run on that.
Met and married after he had his after he got injured, and she's been a godsend for him. But he is a guy that he's going to do it himself. He doesn't want anyone to help him, and I've never heard him spoke a bad word about the situation that he's in. He's a remarkable, but he's a little colorful character. He likes to throw out the F-bombs a little bit.
He's still free-spirited.
He's a free-spirited guy
like he always was. He's got great stories about Shoes tried to keep him like, hey, Doug, you know, we didn't play great in the playoffs. You going to stay in town? He goes, no. Going to Montana.
You know, me and Kozlowski are going to go ski.
Yeah, Mike Kozlowski, another rebel.
Coach, in 3 days, I'm going to be in powder waist high. You
know? Oh, man. There's some classics. He's got great Shula stuff, too, obviously.
Joe, how do you get on that podcast?
I'm glad you said outtopasturepodcast.com.
There you go. It's only taken me 2 months.
He walks in wearing a hat out to pasture.
I could have taken it right off the hat.
I love Bo. It's interesting to me as a writer to talk to the guys like you had post football careers. Yeah. What you started selling with a battery company.
I started selling golf carts. First job I had. I was an operations manager. I didn't even know what an operations manager was, but I got the job. And then I started selling golf carts. Then I bought an automobile battery distributorship, Interstate Battery Distributor. I didn't know a flashlight battery from automobile battery. But what I, you know, but so this is all part of my what I've learned about post-career, ABS. You know what ABS is? No. Always be selling, baby. Always be selling.
That's what I was getting to. Now he walks out of pasture.
ABS.
He's still creating.
See,
something.
You notice it, and I didn't even say anything, so I'm already selling. I'm selling. Always, ABS, baby. Always be selling.
Oh, God, man. It is. It has been fun, though. I got to tell you, having Doug was great. Man.
Well, you know,
you feel good.
We've had the opportunity to just get a lot of really good people on. You know, Zonka started out. We've had Johnny Bench, Stan Van Gundy, Dave Barry was great. You know, and then we've had, you know, cardiologist. We had a cardiologist is on right now, but Doug will come on next week. We talked to OJ McDuffie about mental health, and that was a very, very powerful episode. So, you know, we're trying to get a lot of, you know, I'm trying to find like some, I'd like to get a military general on, you know, talk about the military and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to make it broad-based, not South Florida-based, not Dolphin-based, but just, you know, cover all the bases. So, yeah, and it's been fun. And we kind of know most of the people that we're talking to, and I think they're pretty open about what they're doing. And so I think there's a pretty good message to it.
I think it's a great idea, especially as someone who's navigating, how do I want my 60s to look like?
Right.
And then you have other guys, okay, what's my plan for the 70s?
Yeah.
Active.
Great idea.
Active is different for different people.
So I'm reading an article yesterday about on someone that went, Antonio Brown, right? Made $90 million, he's dead broke, right? He's been out of football, what, 2 years?
Yeah,
right,
a couple
dead
years.
How can somebody go broke like that in 2 years? But there are guys here now that are making a lot of money that within 2 or 3 years, no matter how much money they're making, within 2 or 3 years of their career, they're going to be broke, right?
Yes.
It's the nature of the beast, right? And, you know, and if I was to talk to them, I would say, look, your career is going to end in the 30s somewhere. Unless you're one of those phenomenal guys that gets into your 40s, your career is going to be over around 31 or 30, 31 or 32, your career is going to end. I'm going to be 70 years old this year. That's 40 years. 40 years of living. And if you don't mind your money, if you don't save right, if you don't plan right, you're going to find yourself broke at some time between the time you're 30 and the time you're 70.
That will age you, by the way.
What are you going to do?
How old age you know, going through that,
right? I mean, it's just the nature of the beast, you know.
And I remember talking to Trace Armstrong, who for a while was head of the he's a big time agent now, but he was also very involved in Players Union, and he said the statistics are staggering of the number of players who.
It's been a big pet peeve for a lot of those guys, man. It's like you guys are making too much money to be broke within 24 months.
Joe, I remember when you and I, when we tried to do a production company,
we tried everything.
I mean, it was a struggle for You know, fortunately, I had deferred some money, so at least I had a little cushion time. But you know, it took some time to find some footing. You know, to find out what you wanted to do, what you could do,
right,
and how you could, because we all had kids, and you know,
you stayed this same course. I got kind of off the. I got in the divorce thing on top of it, and that just...
Well, I was too cheap to get divorced.
Hey, I will tell you the other thing about this, too, that's crazy is I did learn... People go, what have you learned over the years with everything you've done? I go, I learned I have to work for somebody. I can't work for myself. Yeah. Some people are meant to work for people, and others can be boss or smart enough to figure it out. I always have great respect, but we have Saturday night dinners with all these great stories of success guys that either own their own company or run them. I go, man, I got great respect. I would never be able to figure that out, man. God bless you. Hey, Bo, this has been great, man. Yeah. Thank you as always. Great, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
I came in, I took up all the Dave's time. I didn't
Thank
give
God.
Him,
you know, I can't talk for I don't have the personality. I can't do like Joe. Joe's life is a talk show, you know, 4 hours. That's he talks for 24 hours a day.
I tried to give you great entertainment out there, you know, with those guys.
Look, we do these Saturday night dinners, and we're out, you know, and wherever, and you know, they bring sponsors in, and it's just like Joe sitting here doing this radio show. He even does the commercials. Even does the ED commercials and the
if they
know,
ask for low T and ED.
I remember once when Marino was playing, we were talking, and I asked him, "Hey, what was Joe like as a player?" And he goes, "Exactly the same as you hear right now." That's how Joe off the air is.
Changed.
You can't do you think. Ever shut the F up? No.
So we go and Joe and Jimmy and I kind of, you know, we're around a lot with each other on the road, and Jimmy and I will be sitting in a cab, right, or a van waiting to, you know, take us somewhere. Where's Joe? He's there's like two fans in there, and Joe's been talking to him for 35 minutes while we're sitting in this, you know.
Those guys really? Let's go. Come on, man. What are you doing? All right. Hey, we got to go to break.
Right.
We've got the 8 o'clock hour. Bo, thank you, bud. We'll see you tomorrow night.
My pleasure.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.